Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast featuring comic books, video games, and movie news and reviews. And now, your host, AJ Herrera.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Panelcast. In this, our 127th episode, we'll be reviewing some things, Old Man's War, the First Law trilogy. We'll cover some news articles, as always. We'll have some interesting tidbits to discuss. And during the break, we'll take it over to AJ, who was at the Claremont Packing House this weekend, and we'll be back with you after that. AJ, take it away.
This is AJ. I'm here at the Claremont Packing House with the director of cosplay, Mr. Adam Broll. How are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. How are you?
Sweating. It's very hot out here.
Yeah, well, I know. And at least you're not in costume.
Thank God for that. So, what are you guys doing out here?
We're out here just trying to do a zombie kill squad recruitment, seeing if we can get some people to join the cause and hang out and see what they want to save the world. Plus, while we're at it, why not sell a couple t-shirts?
Awesome. Why don't you give me a little background about the cosplayers, what do you guys do, and so forth?
Well, the cosplay is based off our zombie kill squad comics out of Forbidden Panel. And basically what we do is we go to the conventions, we go to little small shows, try to get our name out there. That way we can hopefully one day get known as one of the bigger and better cosplay groups and see where it takes us.
And all you guys want to do is kill zombies?
Pretty much.
Awesome. How long have you been doing this for?
I've been doing this for about 3 years now. Started off just going to the second annual Inland Empire Zombie Beauty Pageant. Went as a fan, went to check it out, and started doing it after that, and worked my way up through the ranks to become the director of cosplay.
And immediately regretted it.
Nah, not completely.
Depends on the day.
Depends on how hot the day is.
That too. So, where can we see you guys next?
Next, we're actually going to be going out to WonderCon. Unfortunately, we won't have a booth, but we will have presence out there. And then after that, we'll be over at Celebration, trying to show those Jedi what we do.
Awesome. Are we going to look forward to some
Johnny Kill Squad Jedi unit?
It's very possible. It depends on how much of a fight the Sith or the Jedi decide to put up.
Bullet to the head will take care of that.
Yeah. We got to get past the lightsabers first, though.
Whatever. That's what bullets are for. Just shoot that. You don't have to get close.
Yeah, that's why we use the P90. You get a bunch of bullets downrange, they're not going to stop them.
Exactly. So, well, all right. Good luck today at the show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Welcome back to the studio. This is Anthony, by the way. April Fools, I am not the host with no name. AJ, it sounds like you had a good time this weekend.
Yeah, it was very warm.
Yeah. Well, it's California. Come on.
It was warm. I'm not ready for this yet. I like water falling from the sky. I like to wear my jacket. I like to wear things that hide my fat, which means I must wear a lot of clothes and layers. California is not very conducive to that happening.
We have winter 2 weeks out of the year.
It was literally, I think we had 14 days of rain out of 90 days of winter.
That sounds about right. And it was all broken up. I don't think we got more than 2 days together at a time.
Ridiculous. But needless to say, the Claremont show is pretty cool. It's a nice little show. Unfortunately, 2 minutes after I left the booth to come home, we had TJ Thine show up at the booth. Some of you may know him as Hodgins from the show Bones. He stopped by the booth. He seemed to have a good time talking with Adam and the guys about ZKS. Adam even managed to get a picture with him, posted it up on our Twitter. So if you saw that this weekend, that was cool. Nice little celebrity. Hey, what's up? But yeah, otherwise, I mean, it's a cool show. Nice little local show.
Well, now that you're back, let's go into some news articles, huh? How about you take it away?
Well, the first thing I'm going to talk about, aside from not only was this weekend hot, but it was also very heartbreaking for me. Because the PlayStation blog announced the new Arkham Knight PlayStation 4 bundle. Why is this heartbreaking for me? Because I still don't have the regular PlayStation 4. I'm one of the poor people that are still on the PlayStation 3. It's heartbreaking. It's very heartbreaking.
It shouldn't be heartbreaking. It should be motivating.
No. So here's what it's coming with. The limited edition Batman Arkham Knight PS4 bundle will be available for $449 and will include the limited edition steel gray PlayStation 4 system chassis with a custom Batman Arkham Knight faceplate. a matching DualShock 4 wireless controller in steel gray, and the explosive finale to the award-winning Arkham trilogy, Batman Arkham Knight. In addition to the limited edition bundle, they'll also have the Batman Arkham Knight PS4 bundle available for $399.99, which includes your standard PS4 system with DualShock 4 controller in jet black and Batman Arkham Knight the game. Both the limited and standard edition Batman Arkham Knight bundles provide the perfect opportunity to upgrade to PS4. Fuck you, PlayStation. But if you're a fan who's already enjoying this new generation of gaming, the digital pre-order for Batman Arkham Knight is going live as we speak at the PlayStation Store. As an added bonus, all owners of the PlayStation Arkham Knight for PlayStation 4 will get access to bonus content before it's available anywhere else, including additional in-game missions and custom skins for Batman and the Batmobile. All this will be available when both the bundles come out on June 23rd. So again, if you haven't seen what this looks like yet, head on over to our FP site. In fact, it's probably directly below the post where you click to play this podcast and see pictures of this machine. It is beautiful. I must have one. I think I will kill Anthony and sell all his stuff to get one.
Well, that's not fair. It's just a shut up and take my money moment because it looks awesome.
Says really the does. Guy who has the Destiny PlayStation 4.
Well, yeah. So, point.
And match, bitch. What else have you got?
I've got an interesting little tidbit related to a comic book that not too many people have read in a while, but Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is back up and running again with a great writing team of Tom Waltz and Kevin Eastman, and this is a heartbreaking moment for me, and spoiler alert, because if you are reading this and you haven't gotten through issue 44 yet, you might want to skip over the next couple of minutes of conversation, but Donatello died.
Why? Donnie.
How are you going to go and kill Donnie?
Why?
I'm without words. It was violent, and it was brutal, and he just took a beating, and no. I mean, yeah. Okay.
Now, there's been a lot of rumors and speculation floating around everywhere. In fact, when I talked to my nephew today, he even brought up the fact that, oh, I just heard he just got his butt kicked. But it has actually been said by the creator, Kevin Eastman, Donnie is dead. He's not coming back. He's not pulling Batman, Superman, Iron Man, Captain America, or whoever the hell else they said to kill off and bring back a couple months later. Donnie's gone. So, for more, what I'm going to do is, I'm sure issue 45 will come out and people will be talking about it and whatnot, but every year at Comic-Con, I pick up my special edition Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles toy, released from Nickelodeon, and then I go accost Kevin Eastman and have him sign it. Well, this year I'm going to not only make him sign it, but I'm also going to bring my mic and put him on the spot and figure out why he did this to Donatello. So there will be answers for you people, don't worry.
We've got to know. Because it's Donnie. How do you kill Donatello? I mean, of all the characters you could kill off, Donatello? Really?
One of them had to go.
I know, but it could have been someone else.
On that same note, news today came out from Paramount and Platinum Dunes that Arrow star Stephen Amell will be making the jump to the silver screen in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 playing the role of Casey Jones, the character loner who becomes an ally to the Turtles and love interest for April O'Neil. While I'm happy to see him in this role, I think it'd be awesome. Stephen Amell is one of those character actors or one of those actors out there that has completely enveloped the character that he's portraying and has to be the number one Arrow fan in the world, you know, considering he's playing the character of Arrow. Anywhere you see him, he's in costume, he's constantly working out, he's on Twitter, he's everywhere just promoting the hell out of the show. Something I've never really seen in any other actor beforehand. So I wonder how he's going to make that transition over to Casey Jones, and if that's going to take away from his passion as Arrow. And instead, we'll see it in Casey Jones. Who knows? But I feel bad because, you know, they're such crappy movies. Who knows what it'll do for his career?
Well, but it is big screen, you know? And I know. The first one made me cry. The child inside me died a little bit.
While everybody else laughed their way to the bank at $191 million.
But he has given a whole lot of life to the Arrow. So I'm hoping. I mean, it's a shift from the Arrow to Casey Jones, but they're both vigilantes. So it's...
Elias Koteas is the best Casey Jones.
It's one of those things. I'm just hoping. I'm hoping A, it's good for him, and B, that he shows the same passion for this character that he shows for the Arrow currently.
We'll see. What else you got?
What I've got is an interesting little tidbit on our upcoming Deadpool movie. It has been confirmed by the studio today that Deadpool will receive an R rating. Thank you. There's an interesting little video going along with it. If you want to check it out, Deadpool beats the crap out of Mario Lopez. Great video. But I don't... All the speculation, all the rumors, all the worries of the studio pushing a PG-13 rating, they just wiped that away today.
Yay! Deadpool cannot be Deadpool without an R rating. It's bad enough they made Wolverine PG-13. Can you imagine how much better it would have been R? You're going to find out with Deadpool.
In which case, maybe we'll get lucky and they'll reboot Wolverine and give it a proper rating.
We'll see. Anyway, so one last little bit before we head off into our break. NBC today announced that Constantine has been renewed for a second season. It's getting another 13 episodes. However, we will be seeing characters such as Zatanna, Deadman, Dr. Fate, and Phantom Stranger. There's also word going around that we might be seeing a character that will be a mixture of CGI and practical effects. So this might be Swamp Thing or Etrigan. I personally am hoping for the Spectre, because they've already introduced the character that plays him.
Huh.
So we shall see. But I'm a big fan of Etrigan the Demon and Swamp Thing too. Who can say no to Adrian Barbeau and her boobs back in the day? But anyway, so there's a lot of excitement in that, a lot of speculation and wait that we had, but now we've finally gotten the answer. So there you have it. So Anthony, unless you have anything else, we'll go ahead and wrap up this segment, yeah?
Yep, let's wrap it up.
Awesome. So why don't we go ahead and take another break, and when we come back, Anthony and I will get into the review section. Yay. Be right back.
Hi, this is Vanessa with Blackbird Bows, inviting you to visit my website at blackbirdbows.com, where you can find 100% original and customized bows for every occasion. That's blackbirdbows.com.
And welcome back to the panel cast. So in this section, as you may know if you're a fan of the show or ever listened to it, is our review section. So for our first review, I'm going to toss it over to Anthony.
Okay. What I've got for you this time is the First Law Trilogy by Joe Abercrombie. It's a collection of three books, The Blade Itself, Before They Are Hanged, and Last Argument of Kings. It's a fantasy kind of thing, sword and sorcery, but a little bit more evolved than that. It was surprisingly well written. I have to confess, I've had trouble sticking with any particular books for very long in the last few months, but this one drew me in. And the writing isn't because the writing was just blow you out of the water fantastic. It was very good, but it's your typical fantasy story. So, you know, it's filled with all the tropes that you expect and that, but the characters drew me in. Bouncing from character to character, seeing the story from their different viewpoints, and the times that you spend with groups as they're going about the world, trying to complete their mission, trying to fulfill their tasks, and bouncing from one character's point of view to another within that same scope of time. It's interesting because it captures the essence of completely different individuals and their viewpoints, their understanding of the things going on around them. It was a great read. It took me longer than I expected it to because, like I said, having trouble sticking with things. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I would recommend it to anyone who enjoys a good sword and sorcery fantasy story. Yeah.
What is it comparable to as far as other novels that are out there that maybe more people know about?
Man, sword and sorcery stuff is all over the place. It's straight fantasy. It's not like epic fantasy. It's not on the level of Tolkien. It's not quite high fantasy. It's not Robert Jordan level. If you're familiar with, say, Mistborn by Brandon Sanderson, or the Sword of Truth series by Terry Goodkind, those are things that it's comparable to. So you get your sword and horse stuff. This is a little more advanced. You get use of artillery. You've got the presence of magic and mystical creatures. You've got all your world building that goes on.
Sounds pretty interesting. Is it easier to get into than, say, the Fury books from Butcher?
I believe so, because rather than taking the slow approach that Butcher takes in the Codex Alera series, this just drops you into the world. Meaning, it starts off and he doesn't care that you don't understand where this guy's from or who the people he's fighting are or what the land is or what the layout is. You get geography over time. You get an understanding of the different societies over time and that kind of thing, and it just kind of keeps moving. It's got a pretty solid pace instead of taking the old-fashioned, slow world-building from scratch at the very beginning pace.
Awesome.
So that's my review on that. What have you got for us, AJ?
Actually, before we get into my review, I have a breaking story that I just came across, if you guys don't mind. Universal officially announced today via Twitter that Back to the Future 4 is a go.
Four.
The flick will start shooting in Los Angeles late 2015 with planned release for summer 2016. Creator Bob Gale has already written the screenplay. The story will focus on Doc Brown's sons, Jules and Vern, and take place over the events of the original trilogy. The plan, according to Gale, is to expand the original universe and bring new story to fans with hopes for a new trilogy. Robert Zemeckis will be overseeing the production, while James Gunn from Guardians of the Galaxy has stepped in for the director's chair. Christopher Lloyd and Mary Steenburgen have both signed on to reprise their original roles, but there's no word right now if Michael J. Fox will be involved. Negotiations are going on as to who will play Jules and Vern Brown, but it is expected to be that the announcement of Chris Pine and Ryan Gosling will be coming shortly. This part is all rumor, I'm guessing. But I'm excited for Back to the Future 4.
More Back to the Future. That could be awesome.
It could be, and it could also backfire on them because of the same thing that happened between Star Wars new trilogy and the original trilogy.
Yeah, I know.
Technology has jumped forward so far that the original trilogy, everything looks so crisp and beautiful and clean, while the original trilogy looked dirty and fake in comparison. So it'd be hard to see if they can pull off a similar, seamless look with this new Back to the Future 4. But we shall see. Anyway, aside for that, let me move on to my review of what I read this week. What I read this week is a good old-fashioned, old-school sci-fi, military sci-fi novel by John Scalzi called The Old Man's War. It was nominated for a Hugo Award as Best Novel in 2006. And has been optioned by Paramount Pictures as of 2011. The story itself, It's called Old Man's War is about a soldier named John Perry and his exploits in the Colonial Defense Forces. I don't know what more I can say without giving a lot away. I'll read the first paragraph of the synopsis posted on Wiki. Maybe that'll help you out. John Perry, a 75-year-old retired advertising writer, joins the Colonial Defense Forces who protect human interplanetary colonists. Volunteers sign letters of intent and provide DNA samples at the age of 65, which John and his now-deceased wife, Kathy, have done 10 years prior to the beginning of the story. After visiting his wife's grave to say goodbye, as volunteers can never return to Earth, Perry takes a space elevator to the CDF ship Henry Hudson, where he meets fellow male and female retiree volunteers who dub themselves the Old Farts. It's an awesome book. This is very much one of those things that I've been longing to read, the style that I've been longing to read. I'm very old school in my sci-fi. I read Starship Troopers growing up. I also grew up on... oh my god, I'm completely blanking out. Asimov, all that stuff, Foundation, everything. You know, I've read these kind of books, and this book is just, to me, it's very awesome. I can't really go into too much because I can't give it away. How 75-year-old people can go to war in space, you know, it's just...
What were some of your favorite aspects of it? Storytelling or characters or just the pace of it or maybe even some of the science brought in?
The technology. I'm a big fan of technology and some of the stuff that they describe, the weapons, the ships, how they describe, instead of faster than light travel that we're all familiar with, they call it skip driving. Again, I can't go too far into it. Nanotechnology, that use, the alien species that are out there. Thank God they're not Star Trek type people where everybody's looks like a humanoid just with like antenna or something that's different. You know, this isn't that type of novel. What's really great about this is, I won't say great. What's different is that when I read the last sci-fi book, All You Need Is Kill, there wasn't a lot of in-depth explanation into background, science, technology. They didn't get too intricate with the details on that. It kind of lets your imagination fill in the gaps in that aspect. Here, they take that option away from you. They go into full in-depth detail about everything that's happened, the science behind everything, the physics, all that stuff. There's a whole chapter where they're discussing the physics of warp drive and travel, space travel and stuff like that. And at points it gets boring, but then it picks up and makes up for it. And I can't recommend it enough. It's awesome. It even pays homage to Starship Troopers, Ender's Game, and other books of that nature, Forever War, by bringing them up. So
for a science geek like me, though, hearing that entire chapters are devoted to explaining the science behind certain things, that's actually a plus in my book. That's
I'm not saying that it's a negative either. It's just, and they do it in a way where they're not dumbing it. Well, they're dumbing it down because they're describing it to other characters in the book who don't understand that science, but they're not dumbing it down for the reader. You can tell it's done for the reader, but it's not directed at the reader, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I totally understand.
So they're not being condescending to the reader. They're just explaining, here's what you guys don't know, because why would you know? You've never been here before. You know? And a lot of it is speculation. It isn't until the second book, which I just started, where I had to skip a chapter because of the science that was involved in it. It was more genetics on this side, and I'm not too interested in gene therapy and splicing and whatnot. That's just not my cup of tea. I'm technology guy. So the technology in Old Man's War I was behind, but when they got to the genetics in the second book, I kind of skimmed over it, you know. But it's great. You immediately identify with the main character, you identify and relate to his friends and everything that's happening, and you kind of almost envious of what's happening with this guy. He's getting a second chance at life at 75, you know, and it's, I don't know, I just love it. Now, this book is followed by a lot of different sequels. The Ghost Brigades is the second sequel, the book I'm reading right now. The Last Colony, then there's Zoe's Tale, and the last sequel is The Human Division. However, there is much in the way of Orson Scott Card did with Ender's Game, where he introduced Orson Bean and Bean, Ender's Shadow, where Ender's Game is told through Bean's aspect and eyes. Zoe's Tale is the same way, where it tells Old Man's War, but toned through a different character's point of view. So it's kind of, he kind of copies that style at that point. But if you're a fan of the Ender's Game series, you really don't care. You know, you're just like, okay,
more
cool.
than that, if you're a fan of the world.
More relatability to me, you know? Like,
if you're a fan of the world Scalzi is building, too, then
right,
it's just more of something you are into.
And there are parts, especially in the second book that I'm reading right now, where you just laugh out loud. It is so funny. There are just things where, you know, you have these questions that you want to ask and you hope they're addressed, and sure enough, not only do they address them, but they address them in a comedic way to where you're like, oh, no shit, huh? 75-year-old military people having a food fight and orgies because they're 75 and hell they can, you know? It's just funny stuff, yeah. And they, again, not only do they pay homage to, but in the second book that I'm reading right now, they're reading old school science fiction books so that they can become more relatable. Frankenstein, they're reading Ender's Game, they've read The Forever War, they're watching movies, stuff like that, so they can adapt to the new technology that's out there. So I can't say enough about this book. I would not put it up as high as Ender's Game or as All You Need Is Kill, where Ender's Game is an original and will always hold a special place in my heart. Even the movie couldn't take that away from me. But All You Need Is Kill was a fun, quick read. If you're having a little sci-fi fix, a need for sci-fi, that's a great quick read to satisfy you. Old Man's War is a world-enveloping series of novels that's going to pull you in and keep you there for a while. So if you've got the time, pick up the series. And let me know what you think, because I think it's worth it. John Scalzi has done a great job. Old Man's War is his first book, and it's entitled under the military science fiction type of genre. So I'm honestly hopeful for the movie if it comes out, but we shall see.
All right. That covers it all for us this time as far as reviews go. We'll be back with you to wrap things up after this break.
Hi, this is Rosie from Rosie's Reading Corner. Check out my blog at ForbiddenPanel.com and discover new and some not so new graphic novels, manga, and other geeky reads along with me.
And welcome back to the Panelcast. All right, so this is going to wrap up our show. We tried to do a little quickly this time. I don't think that it happened. We always try things and we fail because we suck and we just like to end up geeking out on the mic with each other. So, but a great opportunity is coming up for us to geek out. And this weekend. And Anthony, what is that?
This weekend is WonderCon 2015 down in Anaheim.
WonderCon! Now I know some of our fans are expecting us to have a booth and to come by and buy all of our local shit and keep us in Twinkies. But unfortunately, this year we weren't able to get a booth for WonderCon. A lot of things on the back end of the company just didn't fall into place. So, but we will be on the floor. Anthony and I will be trying to pull some interviews and seeing some awesome stuff while we're there. Please keep track of our Twitter, our Instagram, our Facebook, all that stuff. We'll be posting pictures and whatnot while we're on the floor. We'll also be conducting a lot of interviews while we're out there and hopefully bringing them back to you so that we can put on our next podcast. I'm going to guess, and Anthony, correct me if you think that this is an impossibility, but there's a good chance that we will be have a new podcast out for you as early as next week.
Very good chance of that.
With everybody that we'll be talking to and all the stuff that's going to be going down at WonderCon, I don't think we'll be able to sit on that for a week. So, lucky for you, you get to hear us again next week. Aren't you special? But again, we apologize to all of our fans for not having a booth out there, but we will be on the floor. So if you come up to us, if you see anybody in a Forbidden Panel shirt or ZKS shirt, come up and tell us you're a fan. We'll be carrying stickers on us, so we'll give you some of our limited edition stickers. Some of our artists will be slumming it and wandering around trying to sell their wares out of their backpack. Please don't report them. Instead, support them. Any little bit you can do helps and gets us back there. I am going to be hunting down Dustin Nguyen. I'm a huge fan of the little Gotham figures that he put out. I'm going to have him touch them and bless them. And I will touch him and bless him. I'm going to be looking for toys. This is going to be the first convention in a very long time where I didn't have any responsibilities behind the booth or in front of the booth. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to have fun and I'm going to look at toys and geek out and be a little dork. So we invite you to come join us and find us. Find Anthony. He's very tall and occasionally black and he has dreadlocks.
I'm damn hard to miss.
So he's pretty hard to miss. And if you can't catch us there, more than likely we'll probably be at the Hilton lobby pretending to not pack some beers and acting like we like people. In fact, let's make that a date. 8 o'clock Friday. Come find us at the Hilton Hotel lobby. We'll be there for at least 10 minutes. Anthony, what are you looking forward to?
There's just so much going on, so much in programming, and so many people that are going to be there. I'm just looking forward to having a good time. It's been a while for me since I've gone to a con like this and just been able to enjoy myself, so I'm looking forward to having a few shut up and take my money moments, finding some really awesome merchandise. I am hoping against hope to find a really awesome print for Harley Quinn, maybe some Powers merchandise, and see what else I can throw money at.
We're going to say this right now in public, so it's on record. We are going to try to avoid the Funko booth.
Try.
But more than likely, we'll be spending a lot of time there. So if you see us there, please come and just take our money from us, because we'll spend it on frivolous stuff. I'm going to be finding a Powers t-shirt. That is my goal for this show.
I must. It must be done.
It has to happen. As bad as the TV show's gotten, which we'll talk about on the next episode, I'm still a fan of the comic book, and I'm going to take every advantage that I can of the fact that now that there's a show, there's going to be merchandise, and daddy want. Also, I'm going to go over to the Elephant Men booth. I need to complete my collection, and in case you haven't read Elephant Men, it's a fantastic story and comic book, and you should really take some time to go out there and pick it up. They normally have great deals. I mean, these are huge monster trade paperbacks that they sell for like $3 for $50. And it's worth it, you know. And they're going to have an exclusive by Jacob Scott Campbell, who did an limited edition print for it. So if you get a chance, man, go by that booth and check it out. Tell them Forbidden Panel sent you. They'll look at you like you're funny, but at least try. So like I said, please check out the Twitter, the Instagram, Facebook, all of the social media that we're attached to. We'll be uploading a lot of great photos, tagging a lot of great people, and letting you know where exactly we are in case you want to come out and find us and hang out with us. We're going to have some special guests hanging out with us as well. Joey Labartnick of Raging Sombrero Studios is coming out and kicking it with us. He's got some great prints that he'll have on him for sale. He just put out a new book, too, over at Comixology called A Man Called Kraken. So if you have a chance, man, he does some phenomenal artwork. If you're unfamiliar with him, he did the pinup in the back of our Zombie Kill Squad issue 0. And now he's got his own book and his own studio. So please go support him and find him on Comixology or find him on the floor with us. He'll be wandering around having fun, too. Another one you want to check out is our good friends over at the Moriarty booth. Daniel Corey, he's been a huge supporter of ours, and vice versa. We love his work. He did Elephant Man. He just put out Red City. He's just killing it right now. Head on over to his booth, help him out, pick up some stuff from him. He'll really appreciate it. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Anthony, do you have anything else you need to say?
Nope. Just hunt us down at WonderCon. We'll be the ones having a good time.
And freaking out all at the same time. So, for Anthony, this is AJ. Thank you for tuning into the Panelcast. We will see you guys at WonderCon.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.